This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. You know, Jeffrey Beam was the first poet I ever spoke to on the State of Things, and that was almost a decade ago. I was new to North Carolina. Jeffrey had made, I think, the perfect poetic introduction. Since then, he's been a regular guest on the show, sharing his work and sense of humor as well as his literary insight. Jeffrey is a poet and for 35 years was librarian at UNC Chapel Hill. His love for the people of that institution and its campus is reflected in his work. He retired from the university in November, and then on this Thursday, February 9th, he will give a special reading at the historic Playmakers Theater on campus. But before he does that, he's back in the studio. Jeffrey, welcome back.
Thank you very much. I'm so glad to be first.
You were my first poet. Why did you retire?
Well, 35 years is a long time, and librarianship has changed a little bit, and I'm sort of an old-fashioned librarian. I wasn't seeing as many people as I used to, and I miss that.
I mean, that's because the business itself changed.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's digitized now and so much that goes on that's electronic, all of which is wonderful, and I enjoyed doing that, was good at it. But I'd always planned to retire at 30 years, actually, and just decided to wait it out a little bit. Particularly, we merged all the science libraries at UNC, and I wanted to help that along before I went my own way to do poetry all the time. But that's really what I've always wanted to do.
So that's what you're doing,
poetry.
Yeah. Yeah, full time. And so how is that now? It's been since November, the dream of being able to devote myself to the work. How's it working out?
It's wonderful. I had to do a little bit of a renovation to get a more comfortable space with a nice window looking out at the garden. So that's taking up some of the energy. But all these things have already come to me unexpectedly that I didn't know was going to happen. I've been traveling around with a baritone and a pianist performing a Brahms song cycle, which has quite a bit of narration between the songs. And all of a sudden that's, you know, something that I never thought I would be doing that I'm now doing, and it's great fun. I participated in a music master class at Furman with Ken Davis, who's the baritone, and Deborah Hollis, who's the pianist. I'd never been in a master class before for music, and it was a fascinating experience. So I think that that's going to be another sort of path. There was a performance last Sunday of My Life of the Bee songs by Andrea Moore at UNC, and I was able to narrate the other song cycles that she sang that day, some Dickinson poems, some Jane Kenyon poems.
And, of course, you're well-known for your readings around the area, delightful performances.
Thank you.
Recitation and narration, they're kindred souls, aren't they?
Absolutely. And, my first great influences as a reader were listening to Dylan Thomas read, of course, and a senior high school English teacher who was a great reader, and seeing Allen Ginsberg in 1972 or something like that at Davidson College, that sort of let me understand that a poetry reading could be something really exciting and interesting, that it just didn't have to be sort of from the page, that you could take it further than that.
I mean, it's a cliche, but really poetry is meant to be heard.
Yes, absolutely.
And we need to be doing more of that, don't we? We need to say,
absolutely,
look, take it out of this book and make sure
it should be everywhere. Yeah. I mean, every time there's a public event, some poet should write something for that public event and be part of the groundbreaking of this or that. Wouldn't that be great?
That would be great. You heard it here, not first, but perhaps best.
But almost.
Would you read for us now?
Yes. What would you like to hear?
How about Ars Poetica, the Queen?
Okay. This is one of the poems that's in the song cycle that I mentioned. The song cycle was created in 2002. And what I'm going to be doing at UNC is reading poems that have some relation to UNC, a location or some other connection. The song cycle was funneled through the Institute for the Arts and Humanities, so that's why I'm going to be reading a couple of the poems from that song cycle. I can't sing them. They're written for classical voice. But I always wanted, when I started writing these poems, I thought of it as a voice opera, again, sort of taking the poems off of the page. And you'll see from The Queen, Ars Poetica, The Queen, I see the Queen as sort of a great artist. But I also view her as sort of an ancient goddess, a sort of a hag, a witch, like out of Macbeth or something. Whereas Lee Hoiby, when he created the song, it's very much Queen Elizabeth I with a great ruff. So it's interesting to hear the two. And there is a recording where you can hear me read and then hear his song. But here's the old hag, wise hag.
collaboration with my others I build this hive. As I am goddess, this then is my cathedral, built of wax and lives, of light and honey. It grows around me. My first sensation was of yellow, a hum forcing my skin to see. Since then I have sung the praises of this operation and counted the mysteries, storing my drooly jewels.
Jeffrey Beam reading Ars Poetica, The Queen, commissioned for the Life of the Bee song cycle. When you take on a commission like that, are you hearing the music? Do you have access to the music first? How does that collaboration work?
Well, in this particular case, the poems had already been written, and Lee Hoiby would call me up. I would be home vacuuming the carpet, and the phone would ring, and Lee would play musical phrases to me or pieces and say, what do you think of this? And, of course, I thought, why are you asking me? You're a genius, you know. But so there was some talk and collaboration about the meaning of the words and how I personally interpreted, and he had a tape hearing me read the poems, too. Right now I'm working with the singer Andrea Moore that I mentioned earlier with a commission with Jake Heggie, also famous for lots of song cycles, wonderful songs. And that's 2013 perhaps is when it's going to be finished. Presently, none of the writers that are involved are speaking very directly with Jake Heggie. We have submitted work to him. Each of us have been assigned a space in this imagined southern house. Of course, I was given the outdoors, the garden path, the garden shed. But I have a feeling that once things start moving, that he will be communicating with us more and we'll be going back and forth.
And you talked about this place, these poems being, in a sense, located on the campus or in Chapel Hill.
The poems that I'm reading on the 9th, yes.
What about the voice characterization? Do you hear that as you're writing? Does that come to you later? What's the relationship between the voices?
With this sequence, some of it, the queen bee was there from the beginning. I could just hear her as I was writing the poem. And it was a fairly easy poem to write. It went through a number of revisions, but she was just in there. There's another poem called The Sting, which is the worker bee poem. It took a while to find that voice. Just reciting the poem over and over again, and then finally it appeared.
Will you read another one for us?
Sure. Will
you read John the Baptist?
This poem, the connection to UNC, is that Erica Eisdorfer, who used to be the manager of the Bull's Head Bookshop on campus, retired just about a month before I did. We were very close, and at some point she'd gone on a trip to Worcester, Massachusetts, and came back, sent me a postcard of this painting by a Renaissance painter that's in the museum there. She knew I had this thing about St. John the Baptist. I sort of think of him as a poet, someone who creates a conduit between the heavenly and the earthly. So I mentioned that in the poem, but the connection to UNC is that Erica sent me this postcard. So there are all kinds of little connections that I'm going to be making when I'm doing this reading. John the Baptist begins with a quote from the Gospel of John. The one who comes from above is over all. He who is earthly belongs to the earth and speaks to the earth. In Andrea del Sarto's painting of St. John, the voice crying from the wilderness is soft and pliant, wreathed by ivy in the hair, a natural halo. John's a rugged youth, splendidly smooth and hard, draped royally in holy red and brown. One finger and thumb from the right hand point heavenward, and to the humble, thin cross of sticks he carries for a staff. Already the fire of grace illuminates his face, and the coarse curls surround him wildly, umbrous and jungled. Why does he then look down if not to gaze on earth's lovely darkness and the water's clear rinse? For as he points upward, looking down, the whole story is told, the light shining in the darkness, and the darkness which cannot hold.
Jeffrey Beam reading his poem. In fact, John the Baptist, a favorite theme of yours, this kind of divine inbreaking into the very material earthliness of us.
The darkness of earth is quite dark. There's so much suffering. And I somehow, amidst all that, I still remain an absolute optimist about everything. And I wanted to get that into a poem, and I try to bring that in as much as I can. But I think this is the poem that I was most successfully made that point.
We are happy to hear there will be more of it. What is it you miss? I've got about 30 seconds left, but I have to ask you what you miss the most or what you think you might miss the most.
Well, of course, I miss all the people that I worked with, the colleagues. The last couple of weeks before, I remember running into people. Before I left, I remember running into people that, you know, I would see on campus maybe twice a year or something. And I would think, oh, maybe I'll never see this person again. People definitely is an important part of it. And I'm going back regularly. I'll be seeing people. It's not that I'm gone away. And, of course, the beautiful landscape that I cared so much about and tried to do what I could to help protect it.
Jeffrey, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Jeffrey Beam reads his poetry at the historic Playmakers Theater on Thursday, February 9th at 5:30 p.m. Two new publications by Jeffrey Beam released on February 9th, a reprint of his 1990 chapbook, Midwinter Fires, and a limited hand-printed, handmade, beautiful paper edition of his poem sequence, Mount Sea Eden, from his 2010 book, Gospel Earth. All of that released on February 9th. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. The challenge of Cymbeline just ahead. Stay tuned.